So, through some of our phones. This is Nicholas Hollinger.
This is Dave Crofton. We're here to talk about free software fonts, font freedom. So, welcome back. Is it, so we're just going to have an overview of all the things that have happened recently and basically since the first LGM in Lyon, and give you like snapshots of the various events, the people that are involved, and what's been happening, and what we also hope will happen in the future. Okay.
All right. So a kind of basic baby question: what is a font? Fonts are kind of software, and at the same time, they're kind of artwork. They're not really software, but they're definitely not just like an image or a sound file. It's definitely also something that can crash the system. So the Free Software Foundation licensing page actually has a separate category for font licensing. It's a tricky issue what the appropriate kind of freedoms are. And so we have here to present the open font license.
Right, so the open font license is designed as a solution for these problems of defining what a font is and where it belongs and what kind of license it should have. So this is the preamble, so give you a few seconds to go through it, but it's really something that's designed to unify both designers, people in the type community, and people with free software values. So let's just have a quick look at the other. So this is the representation in the Creative Commons like Tiny Icons, you've probably seen them, of the actual working model of the license. So it permits production, distribution, embedding derivative works, and also requires a number of things to function, attribution, copyleft or share alike, bundling when you sell, and then renaming the derivatives. So where is this coming from? Why are we here presenting it? It starts with an award-winning designer, Victor Goldney, who went to like the most prestigious font design school in Reading, England, and for his MA designed the font called Gentium, which you might probably have heard about. It's used for typesetting this, for example. So this is a very rich font, lots of glitz, lots of features. And from the get-go, Victor Conte wanted to go beyond his academic requirement and make something also available, something that would bring extended Latin to also bigger parity to normal Latin design. This also was close to the projects that SIR was involved in with UNESCO in describing best practices to implement writing systems. So Victor was one of the consultants to write the papers on this and to write the software. And out of that came a stack of software, including fonts, and the whole thinking about how can we make font design more collaborative. And for that, we needed the right legal layer, a license. So SIL embarked on a big community review. It took a few years to get the key people interested in the issue, from the type designers to people doing linguistics to the free software community. So you've probably seen the public discussions on this. So we got feedback from the key people in the community. They helped us refine the model. It was presented at various conferences, and all these people were involved. So big thank you to all these people, if you're watching. Thank you. This is really the work of a global community. So just a quick community timeline. So all these various places where the issues have been presented. People have been contacted, their requests taken in. So you see various places, WSAS, ITIPI conferences, free software conferences in different places, different continents. So we tried to gather all the good input that we could. And the result is that OFL fonts are shipping in the distros. So Debian, Ubuntu, Fedora. So Gentoo was the first one to ship, but now we have many more other fonts coming in. So I'll pass it on to Dave to give you an overview of what's happening now and what's ahead.
Okay, so one of the biggest free font projects has been the Deja Vu project. And so that's really extended the coverage of the Rivera release. The Greek Font Society has released many fonts of a very high quality under the Open Font license. It's a really good contribution. The Unifont.org site has several very good resources for free software fonts, and the Go for OFL campaign is seeking to try and persuade free software font authors to start adopting the Open Font license. There's the Unicode Font Guide, and that introduces all the different fonts which have good Unicode support. And there's also the Font Playground, which allows Ajax web is a Ajax web application that allows interactive typesetting with these fonts using lots and lots of different kinds of scripts. There's Typeforge, which is a student's project to try and create a community around type-based design. There's the Typosium, which is kind of like a Wikipedia of typefaces. It's in a very early stage, but it's interesting because it has kind of two sides. One side to document the facts about typefaces, and on the other side to have reviews, kind of personal opinions about why people do or do not like certain typefaces. There's TypeStudent, which is a message board for people hoping to learn type-based design, where they can post their work and get comments and improve. And there's the script source community.
Yeah, just a few words about that. So the script source community is a project from SIL to gather all knowledge related to writing systems. So SIL publishes the Ethelog, it's a big database of data on languages. He wants to do the same for scripts and writing systems.
And of course, there's the Open Font Library, which has really just started to get going. Here's one of the recent updates. It's a musical symbols font, and it's, of course, licensed under the Open Font license. That's a new feature that we've just got. And this is open to the central repository for all open font license fonts.
Okay, now one of the things that we also wanted to bring with this whole approach on collaborative font design was to flag up the information that's in the font, the metadata. So, like Dave just said, we've added the support to CC Earth thanks to John. So you can upload and say this is an open font license, so it's going to come attached with the information. It's also available in FontForge directly, thanks to George. So you can put the open font license in the field, and it's there, so it's going to be flagged up when you browse the font. We have a patch ready to get integration into Inkscape, because Inkscape is being used as an editor also to design or to do list outlines for fonts. And we have also been playing a bit with the GNOME font viewer to expose that metadata that FontForge is writing to the header. So this is an example of Gentium. So you see the URL for the license, so you can scroll down and see the full license. Then you get the name of the designer. We hope to make the URL clickable, so you go to the upstream website of the designer and see what else he's done and so on. We also have plans to integrate that into the browser, have an extension that would flag up fonts that are being used. So this is Richard Engton is a thing to promote.
Alright, and so the second half of this presentation is about Rafe Levine's new font technology, Spiro. This is a kind of small toolkit which Rafe has written for himself for his own typeface design. And it starts with a high quality scan of an old book. This is 40 meg JPEG, which you cut down to the text block, and then you segment it. So you cut out all of the glyph shapes in the image, and so you can see you have like over 1,000 shapes on that file. And then you blend them together, so you then end up with 156 images, and they're the averaged shapes. And that means that you get a very, very crisp image, which, if you're into typeface design, this is quite exciting, because those shapes don't actually exist anywhere. On the paper, when the letters are printed, then the ink kind of bleeds a little bit, spreads out, and there's small variations in the shapes. And the metals used to press those shapes into the paper also are not this shape, they're shaped so to allow for that ink spreading and so on. So that's a very crisp, very clear view of those letter shapes. So this is the editor part of the toolkit, where you can start to trace around these shapes using Rafe's new spline technology. And this produces very smooth curves. That is something which can be quite difficult to get with traditional Bezier drawing tools. And you can see here the way in which there's a slight variation on this part of the curve when these two points are moved. And you can see that if you look closely, like this. This means that things like variation and interpolation become much easier. You have to be very careful about the way that you do it to get good results with existing splines. And so this is quite exciting. It's also exciting because it makes the drawing of the curves quite intuitive. With Bezier's, you have the point and the handles, and novice users often struggle to learn how to get the curves that they want out of that. Fortunately, Rafe has written a Bezier conversion tool which produces optimized Beziers, and this is going straight into FontForge, as you can see. And zooming in on this, you can see that the way that these Beziers are placed is like a type design would place them on the extremes. And having the vertical properly like that is very good for doing hinting and that kind of thing. So these curves are good for production fonts. And the code has been released today at levine.com/spiro. And the software is GTK2 Spiro. Although there is Levine style patenting, so you're free to implement the curve technology as long as you release your software under GPL, or you can pay Rafe lots of money. And that's worked well for Rafe in the past, such as with the GIMP print project. And the future, well, free software fonts, what does freedom mean? Well, one of the big things you can do is collaborate on designing fonts, which is something which hasn't really happened before. And so perhaps a web-based application to do collaborative type design could be an interesting future direction. And here we've got a Bezier curve in Mozilla Canvas as a quick prototype. And fontly.com is where that will be developing.
All right, so what is freedom for fonts, and why is it important? Might be obvious, but we can cover a few of these areas. Do you want to have the freedom to modify, to extend the coverage, make it work in other languages, locales? One of the key goals also is to improve the literacy rate. So something like a billion people on this planet cannot read and write. And the whole A2K approach, access to knowledge, open access, is really something that I'm interested in. And having the right fonts is a key enable. We have Luya with the NOLPC machine there. In the context of OLPC, we also need fonts that work in the languages where the OLPC will be used. I mean, somewhere out there in Nigeria, they need to have the script rendered correctly so the children can actually learn. So they need to have fonts that can be adapted to that specific context. And obviously, we need to have the freedom to fix bugs. So not all fonts are perfect. So you need to be able to fix them, extend them. And the key thing is why would there have to be a limit on your creativity? I mean, you're all involved in some kind of creative project. You're using FLAS tools to produce content. Why would you have to rely on restricted fonts? There's a better way. So both for users and designers, labor fonts should be there. And seen from the font designer perspective, what's in it for me? And, if I release my font or my font family under OFL, what would I gain? So a couple of points. First of all, you would get a lot of legal clarity, which isn't the strength of the tech community. So you'd have a solid model that's been approved, that is on the license list of the FSF as approved. A model you can trust that people in various organizations, individuals on their own are using. So no need to pick up your own license and hope it works. You can take an old font that you had around and give it a world status, bring it to more visibility and have others contribute to your project. And the key goal of the license is to allow branching, to allow people to do what they want with your font, but still retain the artistic integrity that you need, and also save users' document from exposure. So that's an overview.
All right. So what's next? What can you do to contribute? Well, you can advocate using open font licensed fonts to designers that you know, if you're staying around at the conference, you can ask us for demonstrations or anything about all this stuff. We're going to try and run a POF later on Sunday to have a good discussion about these issues. The Open Font Library is, as I say, just got the Open Font license feature, and so we're hoping to get a lot of fonts into that system soon. And the mailing list is a good place where a lot of people have signed up to. And we hope you'll join that. The Go for OFL campaign is a good resource to learn more about the open font license. And play with these design tools. Release what you do, even if you don't really think it's that valuable. I'm sure that other people will find it useful to learn from. And these design tools are free software, so you can hack them and have a good time. Questions?
You mentioned the spline technology. Is this the Cornu spline thing he was working on some time ago?
That's right. Rafe has been doing a math PhD at University of California, Berkeley. And this is a draft copy of his thesis, which I'm sure will be published shortly. And that's exactly right. These spirals go back a long time. There is some, obviously, some new work which Rafe has done. He did get a math PhD from Boyd Berkeley for nothing. That's right. That's what this work is based
on. All the code is available in a repository, so you can go. I mean, if you go to the website.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
It's there. It's out there. Other questions?
Are you doing a demo?
How are we doing for time? We can do that right now. So you can see that moving this around like this, the curve is slightly adjusting. And this is quite nice. So the way that the actual drawing works out is you have the curve points, which you put on curve. And after a few points, they snap into place. And then you can go around fairly quickly and get. You can then start to bring in points. Right. And you start to hug the image. So you can get a very good fit for these shapes remarkably quickly. And without having to know too much about how to really work with Bezier handles, which takes quite a long time. It's really an expert skill. If anybody wants to come have a play with this, step right up.
There's a slash garden, I believe.
Yeah, it might be slash garden. That's fine. That's good. So the curves tend to the curves are interpolating through points, and so if the points have two sharp angles, then they tend to diverge. That's 4 points. So you get these amazing shapes.
Make art button.
But if you keep the curves in where the angles aren't too far apart, then it does converge and stays nice and smooth. But Wraith is working on that to make it more robust.
Probably it will be relatively easy to detect.
It's real rocket science. It's just a shame Ray couldn't be here to present it himself.
Next time round. If I can just add a little something, somebody wrote on his blog recently that to really get a community going, you need three things. The good freedom-driven licensing, you need a community that holds together people that like working together, and then you did distributed revision control. I think we're getting there with a open and collaborative font design. We have the license. You've seen all these websites with people starting to contribute. The open font libraries is gaining strength. We get more contributors in, and then with the formats that FontForge understands and Raph's new stuff, and then distributed or even web-based contribution, I think we can really go somewhere and free the groups. There was a question.
You couldn't see me, I was behind you. One of the things we have to do, I think, is to make sure that in libraries in GTK, in Qt, or in whatever else people are still using, in the font choosers, we have indication of the license of fonts, a way of indicating which fonts are.
Do you want to show the? Go ahead.
Yeah, a way of showing very clearly which fonts are open, and also ways of getting more information about a font, and also, you know, get me more fonts by this design, and buy more fonts, get more fonts done, you know, this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I really agree. That's the whole flagging up the metadata that we're hoping to work on. And Ed Traeger, Edward Traeger from the University of Michigan, who couldn't be here, is working on getting the fonts as objects that you could do queries against. You would have like the smart folder, you could create smart set. I want all the fonts from these designers. I want all the fonts that work for this specific script. I want all the fonts that are under this license. So you could create these sets, and he has a whole proposal on having also a smarter font list. So let's say you're in the French locale, you might not want I don't know, Tibetan fonts or Arabic fonts to show up in your front menu. So things like that can really help at the level of the toolkit. And so we're working on the GNOME font viewer. See, it's already passing it, but we want to make the links clickable. We want to have expanders that show more of the, because there are already many fields that are already there for that kind of metadata.
This might sound picky, but not in the font viewer needs to have it, but also when you go into GIMP or Scribus or read that there and you say choose font, right there that needs to be there.
Yeah, Google Font Widget that can be reused again.
To that font folder and double click on files very often.
Yeah, I agree. So a widget.
Yeah. In the right place.
I have plans, I mean, at the beginning of an extension for browsers, Epiphany and Firefox, that would flag up the CSS font information on the website and give you information on that and link back to some service where you would know where the fonts are, who's the designer, where you can get more fonts and the licensing and so on and so forth. We want integration in the various key apps that the designers are using, like Inkscape, FontForge, where we have that. And we want integration on collaborative websites, CC host, Fontly, and so on. We want integration on the desktop for the end users, and we want integration on the browser for the end users. So. And we're working on the RDF descriptions also. We went over it quite quickly, but the visual little icons that so you maybe you don't want to read the whole page of the license, but looking at the icons, then you can see the working model of the license. It's quite good if you just go back to that. So yeah, you have the so little person is the attribution. The recycle thing is the share alike. The letter inside the document is the embedding. The A and B is the derivative rename. So you see, B has a different style and a different name. And the dollar between parentheses is the small restriction on bundling with a piece of software when you're reselling. So it doesn't violate any of the free software culture. Even the DFSG number one says that you're not required to be able to sell something on its own. It's as a part of an aggregate. So it satisfies FLUS requirements as well as sending a message to the type designers. That's what we wanted to have. So that's understandable, and we need to have that show up in the application. And so check out the fonts that are already out there. I think we're up to something like 30 font families. More have been released at the beginning of the week. And that's in different styles. The one that just got uploaded to the Open Font Library is a font for music notation. It's cool. So use these fonts, enjoy.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm also going to cover more about Open Font Library and some other things in the afternoon, if everyone's still awake or hasn't left by the afternoon. But one question I had was, what's the number one way people can help this movement? That's often a question people ask, with Open Clip Art Libraries, how can I help? I mean, some people are developers, others are designers or artists.
The Open Font Library is progressing slowly, and we could really do with some good developers to work on that project. For example, there is one of the big next features that needs to be implemented is a type tester, so that you can actually get a preview of the font in the page, and actually see what the typeface is. At the moment, we ask designers to upload a sample image, which they produce themselves, and it would be really nice to have that done in an automated way. So if anybody feels like contributing, that would be a great thing.
You might also consider using your design skills to make a skin for CC Host. That's, I mean, we already have a great logo that came out of the contest, so congratulations to the winner, but maybe we could start it some more, or I guess one of the key things would be starting using open fonts and seeing if they do the job for you, and recommend to others. If you know of, I know some people way back have like played with fonts, maybe they have something lying on their hard drive, experiments and things. Release that out. Make it available. It can form the basis of something that the rest of the community can build upon.
Yeah, an important point is that typeface design is traditionally considered a very specialist and hard to do activity. And with high quality free software tools which are available to anybody, then that's now something which people can start learning. A lot of people have a latent interest in it, but they haven't really explored. And having a good community where people can upload things, for example, the Type Student Forum, and get comments on that, or even in the Open Font Library, where people can take a font and branch it to show the original designer how it might be improved or changed. I think that's very exciting. And so the best way that people can contribute is to get on and start making fonts.
Yeah, and if you're more of a hacker, you're more interested in the tool set, the toolkit, then there's plenty of good, fun things to hack on. I mean, you could look at the scripts that you can run with FontForge. You can look at the various scripts that are made available by the DejaVu project. I think we have a DejaVu contributor here, Pierre Malouis. So they've done some amazing work on using FontForge and building it and doing checks and getting statistics out of the SFD. So there's a lot of things that can be done if you're more into scripting and coding directly. You can also just make it known on your blog that you've seen that. link the various catalogs that exist. Maybe grab the Go for OFL letter and send it to some person you know who was interested in fonts. Get the word out.
Thank you, sir. Let's
wonderful.
The next talk is at 4:20, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
4:20. So you can have a coffee if you want outside or stay here waiting.